This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please be seated. I had a scripture professor and the fellow students, we said, you know, as we're going into the class for the first time, what about this guy? What do we do? They said, buckle up and strap in, because today is the second Sunday of Lent. We have incredible readings today about Abraham and Sarah, who are so transformed that they get new names. There's this covenant from God that comes down and promises Abraham and Sarah that they are now going to be, she's going to have a child, and there's going to be many nations and people that come from him, and kings and all this type of thing. So we hear about this covenant, God saying and promising to his people that they are his people and he will help them prosper. Then we have this very different reading with Jesus and Peter rebuking him. And then Jesus rebuking Peter back, and it's all very open. And it's the anger of Jesus. And you have to remember that, what, it was just 2 weeks ago, so it's still in Mark's gospel, just not too long ago, that Peter was one that went up to the mountain with Jesus and saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus all transformed, right? And so Peter's head is spinning today and wondering, what is Jesus talking about when he says you got to deny yourself and pick up your cross and all that type of thing? Basically, Lord, we are on a roll here. I've seen you transfigured. I've seen you heal people. I've seen you walk. People love you. We're going to change this whole thing. We're going to take Israel's going to beat the Romans. We're going to start an army. We're going to do all the things that people have talked about for many, many years. And Jesus pulls him aside and basically says, get behind me, Satan, right? I mean, pretty bad. So we have this incredible change from everything the Jewish people thought about for years being brought along by God in this promise, this covenant. And we all look at Peter and go, what a freaking idiot this guy is. He just doesn't get it. Well, luckily we have 2,000 years of history and we know the stories. So what's happening here today? Why this big change? Why this big trouble going on between Jesus and Peter? And we know better. Peter didn't. And we have to look at Peter's actions today and say, what is he doing? And then we need to really examine our hearts and think, what is Jesus saying to us today, right? And how might that story of Peter being rebuked affect us? We got some hints today. We had the three readers here about our idea of what really Lent is about. Right? This idea of humbling ourselves and realizing that we're not in charge like Peter thought he was, but God's always in charge. God's in charge when God promises prosperity, but God's also in charge when God says there will be troubles and times and you have to pick up your cross and follow me. So as Peter confesses to Jesus, just we didn't hear it last week because you all did the other thing, but Peter confesses that Jesus was the Messiah just earlier, also in Mark's gospel, and then all of a sudden this story that we hear today. We can learn from this. We can learn from our mountaintop experiences where we experience what Peter and James did, seeing Elijah and Moses together, the great fathers of the Hebrew scriptures, and Jesus transfixed. We also can learn from these lessons today. But they're hard truths to hear. So we ask the Lord to open our ears and our hearts to hear him today. Peter's expectations are just dashed about what Jesus was going about and doing. But remember, we had that last Sunday of Epiphany. It was that turning from Jesus teaching and preaching and healing, and now he's turning his face toward Jerusalem to his death, but not just death, death to get to resurrection, to get through death to life. Anyhow, this painful discovery of Peter is also sometimes our painful discovery, that when we commit to something that's good and honorable and true, we have to give up other things, right? Jesus, you have the power of Almighty God at your hands. Why are you doing this? What is this? Is really good news? It's not. Doesn't seem like good news. What Peter doesn't understand at this moment is that rather than betraying God's covenant with Israel, Jesus is fulfilling it, but also rewriting it. The original covenant to Abraham in Genesis was fruitfulness of his descendants. It promised the future of life. Jesus is inviting us into a new covenant, a new agreement on life, but it's following a very different path than what we would expect. So Jesus promises us life if we have the courage to face death. That's our literal death. This is that if we give our lives wholeheartedly to him and serve our neighbors, we will have rich and abundant lives flowing through us, swelling up in eternal life. It's an enticing invitation. It's also a scary one, right? And we know that one day we will confront our literal death, but we know there are many other deaths. Many of us have been spun the earth a few times. We know there's other small deaths along the way. Death of our pride, death of our comfortable ideas about what God's calling us to do sometimes. Perhaps death of financial security, death of ambition, death of all the things that we've gone through in our lives, our walk, taking care of our families, that type of thing. God's invited us. It's high stakes. It seems impossible sometimes. It seems far-fetched. I walked in here the other day with someone, this older couple, and I said, "So how are you two getting along? Are you behaving yourselves?" They said, she said, 38 years. He acted like he didn't hear me. she said, 38 years, son. I go, 39, I understand. Like, just it's day by day, right? Sometimes that promise is one day at a time, right? So how do we enter this covenant, right? Or re-enter it? We're in Lent. This is Happy Lent. This is the time, as Father Marty says. I love Father Marty, by the way. I got to tell you. I love Father, I love Dee. So faithful. They're really, really good priests, and good priest has a good wife behind him in this case. So, but Happy Lent, the idea that Lent is our time to really think about these things and confront them again and then sometimes re-enter into the covenant, right? Because we fall away, right? So I was telling this story yesterday. So yesterday, we're doing all this stuff in the back of our house. My wife has got a plan. She always has a plan. She has the vision. I grudgingly go along with it sometimes, but we get there, right? And so, you know, we're doing this and then painting, but then if you do that, then you need a new fan, and then if you do that, you need this. And, you know, the vision's good. So the final thing, think, is we have this bell. It's about this big. It's a brass bell. Her father got it from his father, so kind of great-grandfather. They lived in Pittsburgh, and they live, the big rivers are Monongahela and the Allegheny that form the mighty Ohio, right? And then, of course, that goes into the Mississippi, etc. But so they lived in Pittsburgh their whole lives, and the great-grandfather got this bell from somebody that owned a tugboat on the Ohio. So it's been passed down through the generations. Her dad had it. They lived, their house backed up to woods near Pittsburgh. And to get them to come to dinner, he would ring this bell. Ding, ding, ding. It's really loud, really impressive bell. But anyhow, it was like all brass. It gets, you know, corroded and brown. Like I'm looking at the statue out there. I assume that's brass. So she decided we need to shine that up. So she started the day before, and then she asked me, would you do this? Would you, because you can push harder or something. I said, okay. Got bartender's friend. Anybody know about bartender? The ladies all know about it. My wife's a clean freak. She never heard about that, but it's great. Anyhow, bartender's friend, you just keep rubbing and rubbing and scrubbing and rubbing and scrubbing and hours and hours. I mean, I'm finally like, I had a kid leave and stuff, and finally, man, I'm telling you what, that bell never looked, I don't think it looked that good when it was built, but it is as shiny as a gold ring right now. She is so proud of that. If I never did anything else, I think I'm in good shape for a while. So anyhow, it's like re-entering the covenant, doing that thing, right? She's so happy. So how do we re-enter the covenant with God? It depends on our faith. The reading from Paul. Paul is always about faith, right? This promise always of grace always rests upon faith. God, the part of the covenant for us is that God always gives us grace. We just got to kind of overcome our way of doing things, our stubbornness, our recalcitrant natures, our wanting to do it our way, usually about control. Faith is the only bridge through death on the cross to a new life, through death to resurrection with Jesus. It's not a fairy tale faith. It's not blinking your eyes and hoping it for the best. It's just not that. It's a faith that takes stock of the very real cost of discipleship to which Jesus calls all of us. So some of us, including many of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, we pay the cost of discipleship with our literal physical lives. Most of us will just carry the cross one small step at a time each day, one small discipline at a time, one small act of generosity or love at a time each day. That's important. Reading that Lenten guide that we all have, and they're still in the back of the church in that basket. I got to tell you, I'm very, very impressed by that. My wife is reading it and then leaving it on the bed for me, and then I come and read it after she's read it. All those little disciplines are very important for Lent, and very important throughout the year, but right now while we have time to think. So however we carry the cross, the giving of our lives, willing to follow Jesus, will manifest in one unexpected cost, the risk of being changed, of being transformed. So when Abraham and Sarah went from Abram and Sarai, and they committed to this covenant, they were changed. They were transformed, so much so their names were changed. Their names echoed their former selves, but they were profoundly transformed. And this is the risk that we take when we sign on to Jesus' covenant. This journey of the cross, it has a transforming power, and it should. You should feel it. You should know it. You should. Being part of this community, you should be part of that. And that's a covenant, a promise worth our very lives. Amen.